of the show by welcoming back to the program a man who's had a lengthy career as an actor in shows like Providence and, of course, MASH. He's the author, including books like Just Call Me Mike, but perhaps an even longer career as an activist, helping out wherever he can all around the world. Mike Farrell, it's a great pleasure for us to welcome you back to Downtown.
Thank you very much. Nice to be with you again.
You are a very busy guy these days. Where have you been? What have you been working on of late?
It always seems to be something, doesn't it?
It does, but that's a good thing.
Yeah, the current thing I'm doing is I'm the proponent of a proposed initiative on the 2016 ballot to eliminate the use of the death penalty here in California.
Well, you have been the president of Death Penalty Focus for a long, long time. And again, this is an issue that doesn't go away unless it's an election year. And are you at all surprised, Mike, that in the midst of these campaigns, this is a subject that nobody seems to be talking about?
Well, actually, they're starting to talk about it. Martin O'Malley, the former governor of Maryland, who eliminated the use of the death penalty in his state when he was governor, has declared his opposition to it, to claim that it should be repealed, and stated that it is racist and broken. Hillary Clinton had just made a statement that she doesn't agree that it should be eliminated entirely, but that its use should be limited. She says it's used too much. I agree with part of what she said. And I believe, although I don't remember his having taken a position on it, though he's very strong on reforming the criminal justice system generally, I think Bernie Sanders is also opposed to it. So it's just gotten a bit of reference in the presidential debates, or presidential campaigns, I should say. It wasn't mentioned in the debate, you're quite right. But if we succeed here in California, and I have to add that we haven't yet officially launched the campaign. I've stepped down, taken a temporary leave of absence from the presidency of the board of directors of Death Penalty Focus to run the campaign, and we're looking at, we filed the papers, and we're looking at whether or not we have the capacity in so many different respects to do it. We hope we do, and we'll make that determination in a few weeks. But if we go forward, I believe we will succeed. And if we succeed, I think it will be the beginning of the end of capital punishment in the United States.
Well, we can hope so. And Mike, what lessons can we take? Because I was so, and I think so many people were moved by the families of the victims in the South Carolina shooting earlier this year and their ability to forgive and to say that the death penalty is not the answer.
It is very impressive when you meet people like that, when you see the work that is being done. I also have to add that I just spoke in Cleveland last week to a group of mostly men. There were a couple of women involved who were people who had been tried, convicted, and sentenced to death and spent, in some cases, decades on death row waiting for execution, only to be discovered to have been innocent and freed. And the fact that these people have the willingness and the energy and the forgiveness, if you will, to dedicate themselves to helping eradicate this practice from our criminal justice system is always terrifically moving to me. So between Murder Victims Families, a national organization, Murder Victims Families for Reconciliation, and the Murder Victims Families for Human Rights, and our organization and the other organizations around the country, plus this group of exonerees, it's called Witness to Innocence, I think there are compelling arguments that are being made that we are doing great harm to ourselves by continuing to kill helpless people in our system.
Well, and of course, as you've pointed out several times with us before, too, it's, among other things, it's the fact that it's a justice that's handled out in a very unjust way, predominantly toward poor and minorities.
Exactly. And that's inarguable. It's one of the points that actually President Obama recently had a conversation about it, and he, as it was described as evolving his view, he's always said that he believes that the death penalty should be used sparingly, but that we have to maintain it for certain egregious crimes. But he did remark about the fact that it is very clearly practiced in a racist manner, and that that gives him pause. So I think people are beginning to get it. Race and poverty, minority, member of a minority group, and impoverished people are the ones who are selected out by the system and eliminated. And it's I think it really goes back to our sort of racist history with slavery, and in insisting that some people are simply worth less than others. And beyond that, we're having a number of you know, it used to be seen by a lot of people as a sort of left-right issue, liberals versus conservatives, but there are a number of conservative voices now that are coming out demonstrating their opposition to the death penalty on a couple of bases. One is that, for them, it is yet another government program that doesn't work and should not be supported. But the other, and I think the more moving one, is the cost of it. It's hideously expensive, even as opposed to life in prison without the possibility of parole. The cost of the death penalty and maintaining the system in the states that continue to maintain it is by a multiple of figures more expensive than life in prison without the possibility of parole.
We're talking with Mike Farrell here on Downtown. You've been working as well throughout the recent years on your one-man show, Dr. Keeling's Curve. It was a TV special earlier on this year, and you've always worked hard to bring more awareness to the topic of climate change. Are you surprised at people, but especially politicians out there, who seem to go about their lives ignoring the science that so much of the world accepts?
It's not, unfortunately, it's not ignoring. Some of them are paying great attention to it because they are in the pocket of the oil industry and are continuing to insist that there is no such thing as climate change. Senator Inhofe of Oklahoma being one of the primary villain in that regard, although a number of them are just, even if you look at the presidential debate on the Republican side, you find that the virtually none of the candidates will say that he believes that, or she, in that case, Carly Fiorina, believe that global warming is a problem that needs to be dealt with by the government.
Mike, in your years on MASH, you took head-on a look at a lot of very serious issues in our country. Today, do you see and are you aware of television programs, movies, the entertainment industry, doing as much as you did 3 and 4 decades ago to talk about issues and not do just simply an entertainment program?
You know, I wish I could say I do. I mean, some do. We, the organization you've mentioned, that definitely Focus, the organization I have chaired up until I just stepped down recently, gives an award periodically to shows, and there was a series, a mini-series, I guess you would call it, called The Killing.
Yes.
Quite powerful, just really extraordinarily powerful, and we gave them an award a year ago. And one of David Kelly's shows, I've forgotten which one it was, also we gave an award to. And years ago, we gave an award to The West Wing, which I thought was a powerful show. So I think, for example, what was it called? The Network, it wasn't called Network, but it was something about the news that Aaron Sorkin's
show. The Newsroom.
Newsroom, that was it. Thank you. I thought they did a fabulous job of keeping us current with really timely issues. But I fear that your question really is on the money, that most television shows, particularly the ones on the network these days, really steer away from social issues, with the possible exception now, because it has become more and more acceptable, of including gay characters on shows. And that, I guess, has created some controversy in certain areas. But I think it's a demonstration that we are now moving into an area where people are more accepting the reality and value of our gay and lesbian and transgender brothers and sisters.
Along the way, was it often that people would say to you, well, why can't you just act, and why do I care what an actor thinks about all these issues, as if you don't have a right to an opinion like everybody else?
Well, yeah, there is that. And nobody should care about an issue because I care about it, or any actor. They should care about it because it's the legacy that was handed them by the founders of this nation. And being a citizen, it's always seemed to me, requires that we be active and we make ourselves aware of issues and address them when it's necessary. And sadly, it's necessary much of the time.
Mike, to your acting career, before we let you go, you've worked on so many wonderful programs through the years and some beloved television shows. Who's the most talented person you've worked with along the way?
Oh, gee, that's... I don't know that I could name a most talented person. You know, there have been people I've worked with who have staggered me with their ability. Anthony Quinn, I did a series with Anthony Quinn years ago. Harry Morgan on MASH. I mean, Harry has been an actor, had been an actor for so many years. I was just talking to somebody recently about it. Every time you turn on an old, particularly an old classic film, you almost invariably see Harry Morgan there. And you know, Alan Alda, one can't fault Alan Alda when you're talking about talented people. There are so many. The entire cast of MASH, I was in awe of their abilities, the extraordinary people I've had an opportunity to work with over time. I just did a short-lived series called The Red Road with Julianne Nicholson, who's a young actress who is going places, it seems to me. She's in the new feature, Black Mass, with Johnny Depp. You know, one of the great things for me about being in this business has been to see and experience the opportunity to work in some cases with some of these people with just extraordinary talent and intelligence and dedication. So I've been very lucky in my career over the years.
Well, Mike Farrow, we always count ourselves lucky when we have a chance to talk with you. Thanks, as always, for making time for us this afternoon. Keep fighting the good fight, and we hope to talk with you again.
I'll do my best. Thanks very much, Rick.
19 minutes after 5 o'clock here on Downtown.